Hey now.
Hey now. Craig, every time you do that, you put me in Stern mode.
Howard Stern, yeah. And it originates from the Larry Sanders Show.
Sanders Show.
Hey now.
Yeah. I totally thought it was a Stern thing, and I got it. You know, I've had arguments where I was 100% wrong. I'm like, no, Larry Sanders Show got it from Stern.
Stern got it from Larry Sanders Show.
Yeah, yeah. I had to started watching too many Larry Sanders shows. I'm like, I got to get back to work. Yeah.
Quite the episode last night.
Oh, man. If this is some great love story, then all of my failed first dates are great love stories. There's no Caitlin. Is this the kind of thing you'd want on TV? Oh, like, bad.
As she's like, you're, this is the person you think you're going to spend the rest of your life with kind of situation? No.
Are we talking about Dale here?
Yes. Yes, we're absolutely talking about Dale.
But also, the, you know, we have Hannah B. bro dude sessions, it seems. But also, we kind of got to cut them some slack because of quarantine.
Mm.
But, right. I mean, we'll get to, like, kind of the concessions we have to give to both sides. But this does not bode well for her. Right?
Are you talking about the 3-second pause that she freaked out about?
Are you ready? That is what I had to make sure. We opened up the cringe ball, you know, the disgusting hair ball we find that was.
So you thought they were dissing her, or not intentionally necessarily, but you thought that was a diss on Claire.
Do you want to start there? Because that's meat and potatoes here. If you don't want to start with some light salad.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of salad we can go for here.
Yeah.
In the raw food movement, you eat dessert first. But you didn't know that.
I mean, I would almost say that the pause is one of the dessert moments for me in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it all kind of blend over. Like, sometimes I look forward to, like, a crazy Caesar salad with raw eggs and anchovies more than anything else in the meal, because I like strong flavors like that. So I'm down to get to that. Or do you want to do the love language things? This was chocked full. Second episode, like satisfaction is so rare. So I am so ready for all of
it. Wow. EZR is actually in a good mood.
I knew that you would be, because as soon as I saw that first group date was a love languages themed date, I was like, oh, we're going to talk about this.
Yeah, although I felt like that was the one letdown of the episode, was the love languages part. Because it wasn't really about love languages.
Exactly. They can't even get something as simple and rudimentary. I could explain love languages to a 5-year-old, and they did it wrong. Love languages, you don't try them all out with someone. You're supposed to pick the ones that you, that work for you. And it was so symbolic that she put herself up on a pedestal as like a fake princess while groups of men were vying for her in front of each other. Quinn Morgendorfer moment again. So for our listeners out there, that was not the love languages message, by the way. You're supposed to pick the one or two that you take to be the most important.
To receive, and also the ones that you like, that you feel comfortable giving to people, I feel like is another aspect, right? That you're like, it's easy for me to say words of affirmation or whatever. To me, it would have made more sense on that date if they talked about what all the love languages are, and then had them like seriously reflect on like, oh, well, I appreciate, like, I personally like to get gifts or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
You know, like,
you're supposed to match them up. Right.
Right. Yeah. Instead, it was just a blindfold makeout session.
Yeah. There was some weird. Well, so I, I wrote notes again for this week, and the Quinn Morgendorfer thing is literally in my notes, EZR. I thought of you when I wrote this. This is one bullet point. I'm going to read out exactly what my notes say. Men tell her nice things for words of affirmation, but she does not say anything back to them. Quinn Morgendorfer.
Right. Exactly.
It was very weird. And yeah, it was just like every man there went up to her and was supposed to just compliment her, I guess? And like,
yeah,
but in this very weird way where it was like she's standing on a Juliet balcony, and they come up and they say something. It was very, very odd, right? Like, that whole thing was just, yeah, right, the gift-giving thing was also weird as hell.
Some of them told her her life story. Some of them were like,
yes,
you're cool, though. Right. And, like, you're like, what do you say to the second, like, couple hours you meet someone?
Yeah. And it was just a very odd situation because, like, yeah, you wouldn't have had, at this point in knowing her, how would you know the types of things that she would really want to be told about to begin with, you know? Like, I think that's something that you get from having conversations with people and getting to know them, right? It's to say, like, oh, this is what she needs to know. But this is just so early in this. It's not really what this is supposed to be about. Like, my understanding of words of affirmation have always been that it's not simply like complimenting somebody, but it's more about letting them know that you value them, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can be a compliment if that's what they like, if that's their love language, kind of, right?
But it can also be you being like, no, I really do love you, you know?
Yeah. I appreciate you in this
way. Yeah. Yeah. Or like, I noticed that you did X, Y, and Z, and I appreciated that about you, you know?
Right.
Well, true to Claire form, she just wanted to be, adored and adulations coming at her. And so she's totally living up to who we thought she'd be. One of her favorite things to do is to ramble. And the guy kind of has to guess how he can intercut that. And as long as he keeps praising her, she's like, yeah, thank you. But if he does it even slightly wrong, you're cut. It was so, like, I can see why sometimes men say, now, this is going to be very regressive of me, Caitlin, and I'm so sorry. Why sometimes men say stuff like that some women are kind of hard to figure out or are, you kind of have to guess what they want at that second, at that moment. She's the embodiment of that. Is that regressive of me to say?
I didn't quite understand it.
Okay. Well, then there you go, Craig. You should have. No, I'm kidding. Okay. So that's
we need
what I'm
like a new
about.
Audio clip that's just explaining men's behavior to Craig.
Hey now.
No, I'm making fun of you mostly, Craig. I get what you're saying to an extent. Like, I've definitely heard this as like a trope of men saying like, whoever knows what women are thinking or whatever, you know, like that kind of thing. And I feel like, yeah, it can be hard with her because it seems like in the conversations, she does very much want a steady stream of they love everything about her. They think she's hot, but also strong. They know her entire life story. Except if you're Dale. You can get away with anything if you're Dale. He doesn't need to know shit about her.
He is not excited, but he says things and she's just like, I'm going to take that to the nth level and you must love me too. So, Craig, she's the classic. And I feel like you have said this, that you can't figure her out and she wants you to read her mind. Because all of a sudden, she wants people to take her. Then Blake did something like that. And she's like, no, not right now. And back and forth with all these kinds of, you know, that model guy, the real estate model man said, I feel like exactly what she wanted. But then she's like, not feeling it. Bye. Like, there's so much, like at the rose ceremony, there was someone that wanted to grab her. She's like, no. I'm grabbing Blake. This is my, you know, she's just all over the place. You have felt this before, Craig, or no? Like, some women want you to read their minds.
It sounds like something I'd say. I don't remember specifically saying it, although we've been a podcast for 4 years now, so I wouldn't put it past me.
It sounds like something I say is exactly right in my See, you're like scared of me now, and you should be. Yeah, you're probably right.
You're always right, EZR.
Yeah, we're EZR is about to walk Craig off of the podcast and say it's not working.
Because my love languages weren't right.
The VH1 style dates, because they can't go anywhere. I mean,
right.
they can figure it out, but it sounds like they just kind of cheaped out, you know. They were like, whatever.
Yeah.
Let's just do it here. These are
It is lame. A gigantic facility. So, you know, there's things like dodgeball courts, which I think was just a tennis court. But
yeah.
And, you know, the fire pit. And I guess they could go to Coachella or rent out a Palm Springs hotel. But back to the love languages. Yeah, the whole thing was a mess. But then they treated us right after that to
Claire's awkward pause.
I have the awkward pause. It was very important that I pull this clip for so many reasons. And Craig, I'm so sorry. It's a long one, but we needed to grab certain pieces. There's plenty of times she repeats herself, so I cut all that out, but we got the gist of it. It's very important we listen to all of it and relive what we felt inside ourselves that just wanted to shrivel up and die.
Okay, well, hold on. You're watching this. Before you play it. So this is a clip of the pause.
This is a clip of, it's kind of like a condensed clip of her whole thought process. So at first she's like, no one pulled me. That sucks. And then it starts like stewing in her mind. And then she has to stop talking to someone that did pull her, like George Costanza style, and go back and make everything even worse.
Right. I get the sense that you really do think there was an awkward pause. See, I'm not so sure. I think she's making something out of nothing.
There was a pause.
But the problem is that it's twofold. You're on TV, and maybe you're waiting for direction, or maybe you are kind of, especially the second episode, you're kind of like, what's the next move here?
Yeah,
especially if we have to switch the cameras around.
Right.
But also, coronavirus, when's the last time any of these people interacted with anyone? What do you do? That's how I felt the first time I went to a supermarket. I was like, what do I do in a supermarket? Like, I seriously lost. I'm like, which way is right?
Okay, so I kind of feel strange, like it was, but
I totally hadn't gone in so long. But I mean, I feel like there was a lot of like awkwardness, and she can't completely blame the guys, but there was an awkward pause, and she's blaming them. Yeah, maybe a little bit with no reason. So let's just listen to it. I tried not to cut the pauses as much, but I did cut them a little
bit. Doesn't it fit into your argument about Claire that she is making up this whole pause? If there was actually a pause, then that doesn't support your
Claire
theory.
Totally. Look. Okay, go ahead, Caitlin.
I was going to say, there absolutely was a pause, but I don't think, and I'm assuming this is what the clip is going to get into. My read on it is like, there definitely was a pause. It was a little awkward, but that Claire read so much into this pause that was probably not there for this variety of like, yeah, you're unsure what to do. It's the first group date they've had, et cetera, that like, maybe they don't know the etiquette. Maybe everyone thought somebody else was going to like say something in that moment.
Well, and they all just kind of waited. There was a guy that actually jumped up.
Yes. Bennett.
Yeah.
So a guy did get up, but there was like, I think what she's saying is that often when we see this on The Bachelor and Bachelorette, on these kind of group date situations, that there hasn't been an awkward pause shown. We don't know if there's ever been one and it's just cut out, but it seems like most of the time when we see it, it's a seamless, you know, like they make a toast or say whatever weird platitude they're going to say. And then somebody immediately is like, oh, can I steal you away?
Right.
And so I think what she was expecting was that there would not be even a moment of awkwardness, that all of these men would be battling each other for the first steal her away moment. Whereas I read it as sort of like, they just weren't totally sure like, do you say it that second? Like, you don't want to cut her off when she's speaking, so you gotta wait for that to pass.
Right. Like,
you know what I mean? So I think there was a pause and it was slightly awkward, but I think she also like read a lot into something that wasn't there.
And Craig, I'm willing to, like, I have like my hypothesis, I have my thesis statement of like Claire sucks, of course. But of course, if she's right about guys not being into her, I'll give it to her. Like, I have no problem with that.
Okay.
I don't feel like they are. And I think that she does read a lot into it, but I don't think she's wrong. You know, there's a lot. That's my point, kind of. Okay.
Okay.
So, should we get the night started?
I think we should.
Yeah? All right. Does anybody want to...
Yeah, let's do it. I would love to go chat with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, don't everybody jump at once. Yeah, that was sad. Yeah, yeah. Oh my god. Gosh.
She had to tell us to step up.
Yeah.
I want to apologize. I just want to be present and I am here with you. Yeah. And I want to be right here present
Thank
with you. You.
Thank you.
Absolutely. But I'm not somebody that holds stuff in. And if I hold it in, it just stirs and stirs and stirs.
Okay.
It's like, why didn't those guys get up? Why didn't they do or say anything?
I'm sorry.
If you guys want to burrow out or if you want to do your thing, you're in the wrong place. You know, like I've waited way too long.
Yeah.
Nobody was trying to pull me aside and talk to me. And before I let it explode, I need to talk to these guys.
Okay. Yeah, that was an awkward pause. It sounded more awkward with audio only.
Yeah.
And then somebody cleared their throat, which was funny.
Yes, for a minute I thought that was like you, Craig, or something, because I had forgotten that happened. But yeah, it was, I think the thing was there definitely was an awkward pause. It was not super long, however. I think these are your word to say she has a point that they weren't like hopping up. But I feel like that was not a major pause. All things considered. So I don't know that I'd have the reaction that Claire did to be like, this pause means that these men don't actually want to spend time with me or talk to me. They're just here to be on TV, etc., which presumably many of them are. But I do think there are at least a few. I was going to say he's not on this date, but I do think that Canadian Blake does actually like her. I think like I'm convinced that he does.
Bad beard Blake.
Beard guy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
No, bad
this
beard
is the weird beard.
Weird beard, oh, yes.
Is that it's what we definitely call him, weird beard?
Okay. I think well, that guy likes weird her. Beard.
I like bad beard Blake better. Sounds more like a pirate or something.
Well, yeah, that guy he's not on this group date, however.
That he's the douche that went out in of at his the mind. End and tried to like interrupt the winner's date and got rejected.
Yeah, he kept repeating the date card. As if that meant so much to everybody. Like it was just written by someone else. Like you didn't get to look at it.
It was carved on tablets and like handed down from the mountain to be like, this is meaningful.
The more troubling here is her descent into madness. Like first she's like, oh my God, no one grabbed me. No one grabbed me. What the hell? I'm going to go back there and tell them. And then it just keeps like snowballing. And that is Claire. You know, this is not some, this is her every day. Can you imagine her at a parent teacher conference? Can you imagine her on like a, you know, a marriage counselor? Like she is not well.
Did you watch Below Deck this past season, Caitlin?
No, it's been on my to-watch list for a while, but I haven't gotten there yet.
Well, for those that did, it reminds me of Jess and Rob, because they hook up on the boat, and she's constantly, just every little thing, she's like, does that mean you don't love me? Does that mean you don't like me? Like, why would you do that? Does that mean you're second-guessing our relationship? It just goes on and on and on and on and on. So it reminds me of that. But, it'd be maddening. To have somebody spiral like that over something.
Like, it's funny on Seinfeld, but then it's not funny in real life. And it's, you know, for, like, advice to Claire is, like, you know, you can take a hint that you don't have to ignore it. You can be like, you know what? These guys aren't that interested. Okay, okay, I see where I am. Process it, live with it, and step aside and realize who, because there's going to be one. And this is, even though we, me and you, Craig, and honestly, maybe mostly me, shit on Becca Kufrin season a little bit. I
was going to bring that up. Right.
But she took everything well.
They were at Wayne Newton's house or something, right? And they unloaded all the guys and the guys walked. They didn't run to her. Remember that?
Yeah, but there was a few moments of those kinds of like symbolic. No one was really interested in her that much, but she was smart. She found the one that was.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
She didn't go gaga over the guys that she could have been super interested in. She got lucky and she was smart about it.
Yeah.
She didn't. You don't need 20 guys interested in you. You need one. But Claire needs 20.
Yeah, so, that's a good point. Like, how can you, on the one hand, be so into Dale? And on the other hand, obsess over the other 30 guys not being into you as much as you think they should be.
Right. She wants it all. And that's a super sign of maturity.
I was texting with my friend Jocelyn, who is a Bachelor Masters super fan. Jocelyn.
Yay! Shout out, Jocelyn.
And she said something in our text that I was like, oh, that makes sense. As we were talking about this pause and then the freak out. And she said she assumed that Claire's like spiraling over this pause was that she was upset that Dale didn't jump up first thing to be like, let me get that Claire time. Let me get right on in there. I need to get all, you know. And I was like, actually, that would make sense to me, right? If she's so obsessed with him at this point that if she was like, none of these men stood up. Oh my God, Dale didn't stand up immediately. Dale didn't try to grab me first thing. Like, does that mean that Dale doesn't care?
Right.
She was totally talking to him specifically. But it hurts and embarrasses her that everyone around didn't do it either. Like, there was definitely like she was looking at him and then the camera looked at him and then he's like,
oh my God,
totally, totally, totally should have done that. Oh, my bad. Yeah. You know, like, it's just kind of
it's like, my bad. I'll grab you right now. Oh God.
Yeah. We're all waiting for someone.
Oh God. We had an awkward pause.
We had an awkward pause.
Craig,
that's it. Podcast
don't
over.
Like me. I love that she thinks she's so fun. Like, she's the opposite of fun. If I had if she was my friend, she would definitely be the definition of a chore. Like, I cannot. Do you guys ever get that sense? She's like, I'm fun. I'm great. I'm the cool. Like, you know, she has that like what's her name? I love her, and I totally forgot her name. Amy Poehler, mom in Mean Girls thing. That's like the most pop. That's the most like famous reference I can think of. But I can think of a lot better references than that I think aren't as famous. But she has the like, I'm so fun. Please come hang out with me. Let's do this. She's just not in it. Like, she's not really fun.
The line that really got me was when she was on the date with the fire pit and the.
That's where I was thinking of, for sure.
How many of those fire sticks were there? There were at least 20. The, you know, the sticks you put up that are like 6 feet tall and have the flame coming out the top.
The sticks.
There was one shot where there was at least 15 in the one shot. She's on that date and she's talking and Juan Pablo comes up and she goes, that was so powerful. I'm like, wait. You can't call yourself powerful. You can't say something that you said powerful. That's for other people to say.
I know. I'm a strong ass woman who obviously can't deal with 5 minutes without talking about how lonely I feel all the time.
Right.
Like, she said that so many times. And I understand that getting sympathy is the new power play, right? It used to be, you used to have to act strong to kind of be the bully. And now 2020, 2015, we saw it a lot with the McKenna, Hannah dynamics.
The bullying. Yeah.
The bullying. Accusing someone of being a bully right now is more powerful than being a bully. Like 100%. But she is just overkill with the, you know, and this happens a lot. And maybe this is why this annoys you, Craig, is that whenever they bring someone from a past season, they have to reference that past season a lot. Mm-hmm. And so it gets really old because sometimes that's all that they are. it's frustrating because why can't we hash out a better personality? Well, let's talk about that fire pit date, because I think me and Caitlin have a lot to say. And I think a big indicator is that the guys that are interested in her are the biggest red flag dudes I've ever seen. Like,
oh boy,
your beard and this Jason football guy is like, warning, like, you know, before you get onto like a theme park ride and there's like a red light in your face, like, stop. I don't care. This guy is good looking, though.
Jason's the guy, like, on the date.
Yeah.
Jason's on the one-on-one date.
Okay, I'm curious to hear what you're going to say, because he didn't strike me as all that red flaggy.
Oh,
Craig, you missed some phrases in there.
Well, actually, I kind of feel bad for him, because the date for sure was a therapy.
That's
was
what a
therapy
red flag
session.
Is.
Oh, I absolutely feel bad for him.
And he had to, like, come up with some justification for, like, his childhood being not great. And all he could come up with is that his parents shouldn't have been married. That's every kid.
Oh, God. Yeah, I was confused that exactly, because of the number of times he said, you know, he's got a lot of, like, dark past. There's a lot of demons in there. Yeah. And I was like, holy shit, what happened? He's right. Not saying what happened. And then it was sort of this, like, hinting around that his parents had a bad marriage. But I couldn't even tell from the way he talked about it. I wasn't even sure, like, are his parents still married? Did they get a divorce? Like, I don't even know what happened.
Right. Well, it's just because he was cornered. I mean, he didn't. Who expects that to be the date you get? Sit around a campfire and talk endlessly about, you know, forced conversation about your inner demons.
Okay, this guy Jason just should not. I feel like maybe there's some leeway there, and that quarantine got to him and he went on and accidentally aired out all his family's dirty laundry and his own.
But there wasn't any dirty laundry. The only dirty laundry was that his parents shouldn't have been married, which I think, like I said, most kids could probably come up with some argument that their parents shouldn't be married. I mean,
his parents shouldn't have been married. Him and his brother need therapy. He's had like a ton of one night stands. He like,
great.
What else did we? Those are.
I'm Team Jason.
He's.
All right. I'm trying to remember what I'd heard. All right. This one stood out to me that he said, I think when he got the date card, right, which is like a really long date card, because it explained that he had to write a letter to his past self, I guess, in advance of the date, right?
And why not your future self? But
I don't know. But I was cracking up immediately because he was reading like thing. He was like, oh, great, one-on-one date. Gonna get to spend time with Claire. And then he reads it and he literally says, like, fuck, I gotta share my feelings, you know? Which cracked me up. And I don't think it's necessarily a huge red flag, but it was like that they are clearly very different people. You know what I mean? That, like, she loves this kind of shit. Sharing your feelings is, like, her whole deal. And he was basically like, oh, this is a real struggle for me. But the one that did come up on my list of, like, oh, this is probably sort of a red flag thing, is when they had to write down terrible things that people have said about them on pieces of tile, right? And then they read it out loud to each other. You guys remember this,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And poor guy.
What the hell?
Yeah, it was uncomfortable moment. But then, like, she says, like, let's go smash these and, like, destroy these feelings that people have said, like, mean things about us. And he goes, you don't have to tell me twice, and gets, like, really excited about smashing the tile.
Yeah.
And part of it was, like, there. It was kind of endearing in a certain way, right? But it is also something you're just like, oh, this guy is, like, really into being like, I gotta destroy my feelings.
Yes. I have to bury them. I have to drink them away. I have to sleep them away. Like, you know, sex them away. Like, yes, all of that. Something's super wrong with him. Poor guy. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, when women come on the show, that narrative where they're resetting goes a long way. It's like, I've had bad relationships. They haven't gone well. This is my chance to find a new me and find, you know, love, right? He does the same thing, and he's the bad guy.
I don't think he's the bad guy.
I don't think he's a bad guy at all.
Oh, well, what's the red flag then?
the red flag just means like this guy needs a lot of help before he gets into a relationship or possibly like going on to get engaged. He needs like and honestly, when women come on and something is wrong with them, I mean, Claire is my number one enemy. She doesn't know it, but she is. I have
a lot remind of- me never to go with you to Sacramento. That'd be
She's not going to stay there. She's going to move here on my turf. Yeah, and then that's we'll true. See what's up.
She's going to be in LA before we
It's going to be on site.
Yeah. So this is, I don't think either one of you remember who Graham, I mean, remember, neither one of you have were watching the show when Graham Bunn was on the show. He now has, because of being on The Bachelor, he now hosts like a morning country show that's, I think, syndicated. But he was so he was on. I need a buzzer myself here because I think he was on he was on Deanna Pappas' season. He was so awesome and cute the way Jason's cute, attractive and more than just that way too. He was just mysterious and interesting, and he just seemed so awesome. And then he had to like excuse himself from the show and he gave Deanna Pappas a letter and it said like, and he's like, I don't want anyone to see that. That's not from me, from producers, for anything. You read this to yourself. And he had to leave the show. But I thought he was so sincere. And then he came back for like Bachelor, not in Paradise before, Bachelor.
Pad.
Bachelor Pad. Thank you. And it was rad. And I loved him.
Why did he leave the show? What was the secret reason?
As far as I understood, because they never gave us a reason, he never faced the cameras and told a reason. But as far as I understood, he wasn't into her and didn't want to propose or didn't want to do it on their timeline. So he had to excuse himself, but he did it in the classiest way possible. And okay. Deanna Pappas really liked him. So he kind of has those, that Graham Bunn air to me. And I 100% respect that, except that we're living in a different age. So now this guy's going to get, and Graham kind of like fell into that too. The fact that he's hosting a show based on his appearance on The Bachelor means that the franchise means that he did make it into something. But here's that's just a side note. That's a Bachelor history note. Claire says something that is interesting, I think, and me and Caitlin can kind of go into it. There's something really attractive about a vulnerable guy because it makes you feel special that this person is only telling you something, even though that's not really true. They're telling probably everyone they can talk to their most intimate feelings. But the problem here is that when you hear someone kind of unload, it's not about you at that moment. It's about them. And she makes it about her, Claire does. And as I've gotten older and I've been able to listen to my friends talk about intimate, deep things about their personal lives, we have to realize as kind of we mature that it is about them kind of, unloading or emotionally vomiting or just kind of like sitting there and like processing. And are they at a solution stage or are they like an unpacking stage and feeling that out and kind of being a good friend? The fact that Claire brings it back to her is just like that relation. Like to me, that is so selfish. And whether she realizes it or not is super selfish. So I'm interested in the fact that she said, nothing's more attractive to me than a vulnerable guy. I thought that will only hurt this poor man more.
So the vulnerable man thing is really interesting because I do totally get this idea of like, particularly with somebody like Jason, right? Who seems like he has not had conversations like this with people he's dated before, right? Because he came in pretty resistant and then was like, holy shit, yeah, I'm going to talk about feelings, sort of, you know? That there is something that is, and it's such a toxic impulse, so I definitely try to fight it in myself, but the thing when you're like, oh, this person is, they're shut down to everyone else, but they're open to me, you know what I mean? They're vulnerable with me, but they're not vulnerable with the world, and I've also seen it, like, for sure, particularly when I was in my early 20s, dating men where I'd be like, this guy's kind of an asshole to everyone except me. He's nice to me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, oh, that's mm-hmm. attractive.
That's a good tactic.
I like
yeah.
that. And now that I'm older, totally. I'm like, no, I don't like that. Like, no, like you shouldn't. An attractive quality is not, I hate everything except for possibly you, you know?
Like, yeah.
And so I feel like there is this kind of dangerous thought process in that kind of like, oh, I love when a man is being vulnerable, because it can be like really manipulative and toxic to be like, oh, they're simply only open to you, and they're like a total shit heel in every other aspect of their life. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And Craig, you can confirm this, and I know you will. Men have grasped onto this. Smart men out there have grasped onto this and pretend to be vulnerable only to you, but do it to every woman they want to court, let's say.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, confirmed.
Craig,
I guess.
Please confirm. Yeah. It's, I've seen it, and I can't say that it's actually worked, but I can say that the intent, like, it's so funny. I love how sometimes we're playing on, like, one-up levels. Like, I had a guy who, and I don't want to make this about myself, you know, but here we are. I had
okay,
a guy
Claire.
Who said, I know, who's like, oh, you know, I had to tell you something about my past, blah, blah, blah. And this is, I don't want to say recent, but it was within the last decade. The last personal decade, not 2010 to 2020. So he goes, like, I'd like to share, you know, I got to tell you something about my family and my parents. And I knew what he was doing, but I was pretending like I wanted him to understand that he could be vulnerable with me, so that I could kind of be like, okay, yeah, that sounds deep, you know? And I was pretending to be someone like Claire, even though I'm very, what's the word for me, Craig? Unemotional, rude, insensitive, uncaring.
Are these the, like, the things that you're writing on your tile to smash later?
Yeah. Oh, my God. And don't even get me started on that. That is the most, like who invented anything like that? You don't throw, you know, if you take the beer out of your fridge and wash it down the sink, that doesn't mean you're not an alcoholic anymore. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, to do something like that. That's even like another point of yeah. how ridiculous that is.
I think similarly to what you're saying, right, with the vulnerability thing, I don't think that Jason is using that, right? I think that Claire,
no,
the way that
not.
She's expressing that that's what she wants, might not fully get that, like, that's a tactic that bad men use. You know what I mean? Like, I think Jason is not calculated like that at all on this date. I think.
Oh,
just,
no,
like,
no, no. I was talking yeah. about me.
Yeah, yeah. I think yeah. that's what I was talking about, too, is, like, men who use this as sort of a tactic. I don't think that's what he's doing, but it would be very easy for a man who knew that that was like a thing you could use to do that on Claire, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. And what I'm saying is that there are women. Well, first off, let's just say it did work on a woman like me. I am so, I've seen it done so many times that I'm over it, even if I was a sensitive, caring person, but I'm not. So if you're trying to use it on me, I might just like you and want to, like, believe it just to, like, keep it going. But, you know, there are just a lot of women like me who just aren't touchy-feely, lovey-dovey, whatever, whatever. So do not try.
I think the thing you were saying, EZR, about how this date was so much more about Claire than it was about Jason. And in some ways that makes sense, because, like, she's the lead, and so obviously, like, this whole thing is about her. But, like, yeah, particularly the thing that bothered me the most was not even just, like, all the other date parts that were kind of silly. But then when at the very end, when she's like, I'm going to take out my dress from when Juan Pablo was supposed to propose to me, but he didn't, and we're going to burn it together. And I was like, this is the weirdest way of ending this date. Like, because I get this whole, like, cathartic thing, right, of, yeah. like, burning something that I think my but last breakup, my friends were like, you should burn everything he ever gave you. And I was like, I'm not going to do that because, like, some of these things are nice and I use them frequently. Like, I want to keep them.
Burn my laptop.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Where I'm like, yeah, some of these things are like, these are good items. And yeah, there is sort of a, there's an attachment of like sentiment at a certain level. But like, I have like a sweatshirt from my first serious ever boyfriend that I have kept all these years, not because it makes me think of him, but because I just really like the sweatshirt. It's comfortable.
Yeah.
So like, you know what? I feel like, yeah, I get why people do it, right? Like, I get why people burn things after a breakup. But for one thing, that breakup
I do not.
Was many years ago. So I feel like if this is supposed to be a cathartic, I'm flushing this man like out of my system. I don't have this shit in my life anymore. I don't have to look at this dress in my closet and remember this thing that was like unenjoyable. She should have done that like 6 years ago. You know?
If fits into this ongoing problematic notion that when you're on The Bachelor or Bachelorette, you're actually dating. We're critical of people when they, you know, we dated or we were engaged. It's like, no, you aren't. You're on a reality TV show. And yet they'll still refer to, raise your hand if you dated Peter, you know, and they all raise their hand and they giggle. So it's like, I'm going to burn this dress from my reality TV show experience where I got dumped at the end. It just doesn't hold the same weight as if, you know, this was some sweeping romance that she was on.
They have to keep up the narrative of Juan Pablo was a bad man. That was an empowering moment. It actually meant something, when it sounds more and more like she was actually talking to her ex who literally abused her. Juan Pablo did nothing wrong to her except dump her. That's your own damn fault. Like this, the whole, they don't even mention his name once. And I wonder if that can be taken either way. It can be taken as, I'm so strong, I don't have to talk about his name. Or it can be taken as they're not allowed to. And hopefully he's pressing charges because I am sick of hearing them talk about him in a bad light. Yeah. So I don't know. Well, Caitlin, back to what you were saying, though. The most cathartic thing ever is using that item in everyday life and completely erasing the notion that it was somebody that gave it to you because you need it. Yeah. So
forgetting that they ever gave it to you because they don't mean shit to you anymore.
Yeah, that's my take on everything I'm looking around this room at. I'm like, wait a minute. Is that? I don't care. It's mine now.
Yeah.
They're probably sad they lost it. To me.
Yeah, I think that makes sense, like what both of you are saying, because that one moment did bother me because I was like, oh, if this whole date is supposed to be about like you're getting to know each other better, you're getting Jason to really open up in ways that he has not been comfortable doing before, then it is weird to end this on a note of you like symbolically burning a dress you wore many years ago for a relationship that ended many years ago and you have dated people since then. And you know what I mean? Like the whole thing seemed very... Yeah. Yeah, I like the point you're saying that there's definitely a reading you can do where what Claire like unloaded on Juan Pablo after that dumping at the final ceremony was probably a lot more about her ex than it was necessarily about him, because you learn more about her ex before Juan Pablo on this season, right? That like she was in this abusive relationship with somebody and she went on The Bachelor to sort of like get out of it and forget about it and have like a new start, right? And to me, like, that's a much more powerful and meaningful narrative than the Juan Pablo stuff. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I would much rather hear about being like, this is how I got over this abusive relationship. Like, let's burn something I still have of that, guys. Mm-hmm.
So, right. So you're telling me that this whole damn franchise got together to smear a man because she wanted to get over an ex? Like, that to me... is even more, I mean, unfair is not really the word. It's egregious of the Bachelor franchise to get everyone against this one ex-lead because Claire had to get over her ex. Like,
right.
There's something so wrong with that. And the Bachelor franchise needs to repair the wrongs. If I was Juan Pablo, you know... we all know, you know, frivolous lawsuits or whatever, but I would sue the hell out of them. They have ruined this man's life. I'm sure he can't walk into a bar without getting a drink thrown at him because of the Bachelor franchise, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think...
I'd actually, that's crossed my mind. I'm curious to know what happens when he walks into a bar.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if, well, it might be worse now that they just aired like the greatest of all time seasons again. So it's like fresh in people's minds.
But fame works in weird ways, you know, like women could be into him because he's, you know, on TV.
Not on this. This is a very
unless the women are like, oh, you were treated so badly. Let me, you know, help you.
Women are easier specifically.
Yeah, exactly. There's one lone voice here against, you know, Brad Womack would tell that story that because of being on The Bachelor, he couldn't go anywhere. And then he had to double down and go on again instead of just being like, that was the horrible, horrible chapter. I can't go back. But he talked into it. And I think that's kind of, you know, it's kind of like when you have a debt and then you triple the debt because you just, I mean, it's like, I guess my best example, because we're talking about props, all that I'm thinking about props is like when you're when Uber makes you buy a car and then you have to like be their indentured servant because you have to make payments on the damn car. So working for Uber and Lyft is there's so much wrong with them. Vote no on Prop 22, everybody. Bringing it back.
I think that, like, my sense is this franchise, and I mean, like, all TV, particularly reality TV, does this too, that they have this need to create villains and heroes and have these really flattened narratives, right? So, like, Juan Pablo is a good villain. So that's why they keep on harping on him, because the way he was filmed and the way America reacted to him made it such a good story for ABC and for the franchise and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think it was necessarily that they're like, we're going to tear this man down continuously. I think it was like, Claire did a thing that many people do, and I've definitely done in my dating life as well, where like you start a new dating thing and you bring all your baggage from the previous one on over and just sort of like poured it right on in and be like, now everything Juan Pablo does that is bad is because he's a bad person, just like my ex. You know what I mean? Like, so like pushing these buttons to say like, she sort of brought all this stuff in that might not have anything to do with him. She unloads on him and America loves it. So ABC sticks with that to say like, you know, like these women are all such strong women telling Juan Pablo what's wrong with him. And like, he's a bad man because he didn't settle down and like fulfill this specific narrative, et cetera, et cetera. So I feel like it's very...
He did,
but they didn't care because the narrative for the villain is better.
Right. And here's the issue with that, though. He wasn't coincidentally an immigrant. This is exactly why he fell into that bad narrative, because he was an immigrant. Yeah, and that's that's the deep underlying problem with the franchise in general. And that's why there was a call to action. But they don't correct. They're not correcting anything. They're just superficially wiping away a few like spots here and there. They need to, you know, like revamp. Yeah. So my issue is that if he wasn't that, there might be some redemption. Like, tons of men have, like we talked about, done the exact same stuff. And we don't have to talk about Juan Pablo forever, but it's a problem for me that Claire, I mean, it's made me like not want to watch her season. It makes me not want to watch this show anymore because they're not going to fix it. No wrong has been righted. And but they tell me that it is. They're telling me that it is, which is what's wrong.
I feel just like it's similar to
The White Bachelor. That's fine. Yeah. Make it the white, you know, make it whatever you want. Just don't lie to me. I don't care.
Yeah. I think it reminds me of the stuff with like, I didn't watch Rachel Lindsay's season and it's on my list to try to watch at some point. But from what I'd heard, like there were like these racist men on her season, right? And they've never apologized for just like casting these guys that I'm sure they at least had a good inkling were racist on the season with like the first black lead ever, right? Like that's just, it's what they do because they don't think that like heightening racial tensions for TV ratings is wrong.
Right. And they know what they can play into. They know what they can dip their, like, they know what they can dip their toe into, but they don't want to take it anywhere meaningful ever. So they try I don't even think they tried to try. I think they wanted to make it look like they wanted to try. And I this goes great into the Yosef part of the episode.
Yes. I've been waiting for Yosef's big villain turn to begin.
Mm-hmm. So what it looks like to me is obvious producer drama. Producer drama. People are like, isn't Yosef annoying? Don't you want to say something about him on camera? Yosef is like, Yosef, but you know what I feel like? I feel like they said, okay, Yosef, like in the opening tapes, you know, whatever, months before this was filmed, what's the one thing you would never do? I would never strip dodgeball, because that is very insulting to me. And that's exactly what they do. Like, it feels intentional, right? Like aimed at him so that he could just be like, oh, you know, that's not okay. And, you know, Craig,
yes.
I don't like playing your game. And I know your fans, your personal fans, Craig, like playing your game, but I don't like playing the double standards.
Wait, you know? Back the podcast up here. What game? Mm-hmm. What game am I playing?
You tend to say to us when me and Caitlin have like a, oh, this is so wrong. And you're like, would it be so wrong if a man did it? Like, you know, whatever.
Really? That's what you think of me? That I would say you? That? I don't think
Let me reverse that territory. We'll say something like, yeah, that girl did it. And then you'll be like, but if a man did it.
I don't feel like I do that. Because I feel like I'm pretty gender neutral. And that if it's wrong for a woman to do it, then it's wrong for a man to do it.
Yeah, exactly. That's not true, though. There's plenty of things that are wrong for women to do and not for a man, and the other way around. Mostly, it's going to be more women are okay with doing this, but this is my exception. Did she ask for strip dodgeball? I don't really believe in the double standard thing. I guess let me make that point clear. Mm-hmm. That's my opening. We have to be on the same level, right? There's lots of stuff that, yes, a woman can do it and no, a man can't do it. How do you feel about that, Craig and Caitlin? I'm sure you're with me on this, right?
Well, the dodgeball date situation, which I've already seen discussed a bit on the internet, about how, yeah, it was very much discussed as this double standard thing, right? That, like, if a male bachelor did this to his women contestants, people would be, like, bombing ABC's headquarters or something. No, like, not that extreme level, but you know what I mean? Like, everyone would be like, wow, that's so disgusting. I think for me, I mean, I still was like, I don't like this. Why are they doing this? You know what I mean? Like, I was very...
Why are they doing that?
Yeah,
they're going to black bar it anyway.
I felt the same way. I was like, this is not interesting.
We didn't even see anything. Let's just show it to us then, if you're going to show it. Let's just see it then.
You have to go to Disney Plus to watch the uncensored version.
Yeah. I'm not even a man like form liker, even though I think I'm very heterosexual. If heterosexuality is a spectrum, I think I'm pretty heterosexual.
Yeah, but I don't really the Kinsey scale.
Man form. Yeah.
The I'm man
now
form.
Thinking about my own sexuality.
There were some good looking men bodies there.
But I'm not a fan of that. I'm a fan of man with clothes on.
Yeah, I think that they're absolutely, some of these men are attractive and have good bodies, but I couldn't even feel comfortable ogling their bodies in this situation because it was so weird. You know what I mean?
Yes. Like, so weird.
Yeah, it wasn't even a situation where you could be like, whoa, check this out. It was like, no, I just feel like a creepy perv. It's like going to Hooters or something. Like, it's just not right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like going to Muscle Beach, but then like they don't know you're watching them. Like, it felt gross. Yeah.
Yes.
And then the little thong, like the way the thong was made, it looks like they stapled it together. Like, it wasn't look legit sewn. So I was kind of like, I think really don't want to watch this.
Yeah.
Because they were buttless. So. And like where the strap was, I'm pretty sure they dyed some jock straps matching colors to the uniforms, which also was probably a tell to the men when they were getting dressed for this challenge.
Oh, sure.
Because Yeah. It does seem, I mean, I don't know if you would have been like, well, I'm for sure showing this on TV, but you got to at least have the thought in your head. If they're like, put on this uniform, including this color coordinated jock strap. It's like, okay, that seems like odd, unless you're planning on having me show it, which it turns out you absolutely are. Right. I don't know. Hated the whole thing. Didn't like how it was just like, yeah, it just felt like this very weird, like, let's ogle these men's bodies extremely. And like, she talks about Kenny's butt being tan at one point. And I was like, I don't want to look at his butt and I don't want to know about it.
Yeah. And if we're going to shit on Claire some more, which I'm, of course, I love to, I don't mind doing it. Like, I don't know if it's her fault. I don't want to say it is if it's not. But let's just say it's her fault. Why did she... is she really looking at, like, what is she looking at? Like, who looks at Playgirl? Yeah. Like, to age myself.
Like, are you measuring, like, dick size or something from this being like, well, I guess I'm not taking this guy. Like, what are you trying to get out of it? Yeah.
Right. Well, okay. I guess hetero women tend not to look at that. We're very demi, right? Demisexual. We're very emotions-based.
Right.
So, yeah, I just don't get it. And because I feel
like there's such a universal acceptance that, like, male genitalia is not super aesthetically pleasing to look at. You know what I mean? Like, it serves a function, and the function is not to be beautiful, if that makes sense.
Right.
Because I'm also revealing a lot about myself here.
Who knew, right. Who knew I was going to be the one that's like, oh, I like the male form. I think it's nice. Yeah. I do.
Well, right.
Yeah, it's like his tiny little penis.
Right. Are we talking about art here? Are we talking about Da Vinci? Like, I like the male form in that way. It's interesting.
I don't mind seeing a good looking buff guy with his shirt off. It's pleasant to look at.
Yeah, but well, Craig, what we're talking about is the full nudity, not just the shirt off.
Yeah, exactly. Which I've already said, I thought was totally uninteresting. So we're all in agreement. Yeah.
And especially because they were embarrassed. They were not happy. Like, they were not like, hell yeah, look at me, look at this. They were like cowering. And it was dark. And, it was dark outside. It wasn't light.
It was dark emotionally and outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, especially, like, I think there was one guy who seemed like he was extremely down to take it off. There was one guy who didn't take off the jockstrap at all. Everyone else seemed like they were
easy
sort of...
That didn't mind taking it off.
No, Easy was on the winning team.
Was he?
I think it was the journalism professor, whose name I'm forgetting. I think it was him, which is... he adds a whole new light. Craig's...
Yeah,
USC.
A whole new light.
He's at Annenberg.
Like, journalists being totally willing to show their dick in public is, like, this week, extremely hot, you know? Wait, you guys have been following the Jeffrey Toobin... dick expose on Zoom, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
I want to make sure you understood my reference to the culture. This
New York Times journalist, right?
Yeah, he's a New Yorker. Journalist.
New Yorker, yeah.
New York. I don't know why I said East it in such a weird
name. East Coast New Yorker.
He's an East Coast New Yorker who and I still don't entirely understand what any of this means, but the New Yorker, like, I guess, senior editorial folks were doing an election simulation Zoom call. Very unclear what that means to me. And he was portraying the role of the courts. Again, no idea what that means. But at some point during the call, he
whipped it out,
was masturbating, angled the camera down to look at it. Then exited the room, re-entered as though nothing had happened. Nobody said anything at the time, and they continued to run the election simulation.
Yeah, well, isn't politics masturbation? Maybe that's what he's trying to...
Oh my gosh, Craig.
No. People have been talking about that online for sure, but it was like, what the hell? Like,
it was performance art.
Yeah,
so,
Craig.
We're not
going to
debate Toobin and his performance art dick masturbation Zoom call stuff, but I will say it is interesting that the first person to whip off their jockstrap and be into showing their dick was a journalist
professor. Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Gray, can you slap like one of those parental discretion thing on our episode? Because I would not want to listen to this in the car with like a kid. All of a sudden I'm like, ah. podcast.
Kids gotta learn somehow.
Please, sorry, this episode is going to be talking a lot about the male form and genitalia, because you will see that on this episode.
Right. That's true.
Yeah, we
try to match it to the episode.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. So if you watched the episode and you didn't expect us to deep dive into the male form and masturbatory performance art, then it's not our fault.
Yeah, get the like explicit content warning on it or whatever. See, I think for me, the other thing about this that bothered me is that if you're doing some sort of like strip whatever, like strip poker or whatever, like strip game sort of thing, that like the whole point of it is supposed to be like fun, right? Like you're supposed to be enjoying doing this. It did not seem enjoyable, and it seems like it also would have been better to do this not in a large group situation. You know what I mean? Like, what if a one-on-one date was a game of strip poker? Maybe that would be fun.
Yeah.
But like, doing it with like, oh, there's like 15 people here right now.
Yeah. As it's like getting dark, which doesn't make any sense with, again, like they have all day, they have all night, they can do it in the daytime. And you know, like there is an angle that they could have used there. If you're playing dodgeball naked, that would hurt more.
Yeah, that's also something to consider here, right? Like, is that like,
yeah,
dodgeball has been banned in schools in some places for like years because the ball hurts so much when it hits you.
Mm-hmm. And especially the way they play. I don't want to play against that one guy that got one to three, like one against
three. Oh my God.
He was just chucking it. Like, yeah, this is
throwing
a,
balls at each other.
Exactly.
Poor journalism professor. Okay.
Oh my God, yes. They showed him like getting nailed in the thigh with the ball when he's just wearing the jock strap. So like that whole thing.
The angle? Sure. Okay. But it wasn't. They just said strip like anyway. So double standards. Anyways, back to double standards. No, it wouldn't be okay if a man did it to women, of course, 100% no. If a woman does it to a man, though, what there was no purpose. And that's why I'm unsure if this was Claire's call or the producer's call. But Claire does seem to like the male form a lot, right? Remember when she touched Kenny's pecs? By pecs, I mean nipples. Ooh, touching a man's nipple. Through the shirt.
And the touch portion of the love languages date, she was like very much into. My guess, if I had to hazard one, is that it was probably production's idea, but Claire is a very horny type of woman. And she was probably like, yeah, sure. Nude men sounds good.
Yeah. And she had a quote that was like, what was it? Quarantine. Like, what have you done to us? Look how I'm getting so randy, or whatever old lady word she would use. But it was gross. Just kidding. She's me and Craig's age, so I can say that. She had this like, I mean, how is that true? Weren't you supposed to be like, are you single? Are you having trouble getting a date? Like, what does that mean? Does that mean she was having like one night stands, or she has some backup boyfriend? When she said that, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but it made it sound like she has some like F buddy and she couldn't see him during quarantine because she was visiting her mom. I might be reading way too much into it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to tell because she did specifically mention quarantine as like the dry spell that is making her so hot to both touch and see the male form. Just saying the phrase the male form over and over again this episode. But yeah, which would also
you're
be
talking
like
about voting.
But yeah, like just that would imply that she had been able to do that prior to quarantine, which would imply that she was seeing someone in that way. I don't know. The whole thing is, my take is that Claire is like sort of boy crazy horny in general, and that not having any interaction with men for a few months probably just ramped it up, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
let's close the book on Naked Dodgeball and move on to our next topic.
Well, I have fashion stuff we could do for sure. Yeah. I have some notes on that. I guess we should mention the like the other stuff, like Blake crashes the date, but we did talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
And bad she beard, won't Blake. Kiss him, but then later on she gives him the rose, and it does seem a little confusing. I'm not sure what was like. And the men came over to be like, this isn't right. And then she was like, I'm going to deal with this. Yeah. And I was kind of like, this whole thing
seems
very
weird. Well, talk
about
a pity rose. That was an inverse pity rose. He got the roses for pity. But
the whole thing is odd.
The 28-year-old who got cut for not knowing
Brandon.
Anything about her.
Yeah. Brandon,
let's do Brandon.
Not Brendan, because there's a Brendan also, but it's Brandon.
Yeah, let's do him, and then let's hit the fashion roundup, and then we'll end.
All right.
A little Bachelor Masters insight for our younger, up-and-coming listeners. Whenever you go into a job interview, always have a question ready for them, right? Because they're going to ask you, at some point, they're going to ask, do you have any questions for us? And the worst thing you can do is just sit there and say, no. You should have a question, even if it's the most generic, bland, banal question ever, like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Just have something so it shows that you're paying attention, even if you're not.
Yes, and I have good advice for job seekers. If you want a good question for the end when you need to ask something and you don't really have any other questions... And I have been told that this is effective, and I have used it for jobs that I've gotten, so it must be okay, is you circle it back around and be like, is there anything about like my candidacy or application that you feel like we didn't address enough or that you have questions on that we could go to now? You know what I mean? He could have done that. He could have been like, well, is there anything about me that you feel like is, you know, are there any red flags being sent up here? I want to know.
Yeah. I mean, the guy needed to spitball, and he didn't. Spitball.
No, he's not. He doesn't seem like he was smart enough
he didn't have a report.
But wait a minute, Craig, now you got me stuck on this. I'm sorry, I want to talk about Brandon or whatever, but if you don't have any questions for a company you want to like sign away your life to for hopefully more than a few years, then you need to reevaluate like what work is. Because you better have some questions.
Okay, good point. But when you're 21 or 22,
college, like
you'll take
career
any
stuff.
Job. Yeah, it's not like you're looking
help
for
but
your.
Have... I mean, maybe, but I'm always with like, wait,
well, you're
like all the things
them, like,
that you're hiding.
You know, show me your record of donations to the Democratic and Republican parties over the last 10 years. Itemized statements. you're tuned in.
I guess it depends. Yeah.
But when you're 22 and desperate, you'll take anything. And so
I guess.
You'll take a job that you're not necessarily totally
going to
go for.
And if you're not super into like your career so far, you know, if you're not like far along into it, sometimes you really don't know the types of things you should be asking or like what things are, you know what I mean? Like somebody will say something in an interview, and now that I've worked in a number of institutions, I'll know to be like, oh, that's like a really subtle red flag, and I should like probe this thing or whatever, right? But I feel like, when you haven't had a lot of work experience, it's just kind of like, well, they said something, I guess that's fine.
You know? Haven't you seen Emily in Paris, EZR?
Oh my God, no. Emily in Paris.
You gotta watch that show.
EZR, you need to, it's so bad, but you cannot look away, you know?
Yeah. Really? Well, it's purposely made that way. It's camp.
Give it's me a parallel. Yeah. Give me something that's like it, because I have no context or reference. For I know it's on Netflix.
Like,
that's all I know.
It's sort of like The Office meets. It's like a millennial version of The Office.
Oh, kind now.
I mean, it's not done like The Office, where it's like a first person interview.
That's not what I think you're saying.
But it's like a deep critique of the work environment from a millennial perspective.
Oh my God, Craig, it's not bad at all. You can read that into it if you want to. That's absolutely there. That's not what they're trying
to do.
Wait,
you're telling me my read of it is wrong?
No, I think your read is right.
Give us your read.
But, so this show is created by Darren Star, you know, the guy who created Sex and the City and Younger.
I love Darren. I loved anything he touches, like the Whitney show too that was canceled early on. I love anything he does. I didn't know I did until
this
I was
is
like,
a Darren Star show.
Okay.
And it's sold essentially 100%. Kind of like Sex in the City, but younger and in Paris. But the thing that most people are talking about is that the main character, Emily, who goes to Paris, is the least likable person on the show. So that's like what can either put you off from watching it or like get you. So I'm like, I watch it and I'm like, Emily sucks, but I will watch this whole thing. Like, I watched the whole thing in 2 days. And I was just like, I'm so into this. I need to keep watching. I have so many, like, so many thoughts about it, even though I know that, like, my read on it is that when they wrote this show, they meant Emily to be likable, and she's absolutely not, you know?
I mean,
see, I take it as they meant her to be awful, and that's part of the show.
Oh, but see, my thing from watching other Darren Star shows, particularly Sex in the City, is that I think sometimes they don't know what makes a character likable or not likable. Mm. Like, they'll be like, what an endearing, like, quirk of this person. And viewers will be like, what the fuck was that? You know?
Yeah.
I love Carrie Bradshaw, but I know people really don't like her. But I like her because she's flawed. But I don't know if that's what you mean or if you mean that she does things that are bad. Like,
it's a little bit a mixture of both. Like, I would say, I don't want to give too much about away about Emily in Paris. She's a young American woman. I think she's, I'm trying to remember if they say her exact age, like roughly 26, 27-ish is what I'm thinking, who gets a job promotion in Paris. She does not speak any French. That's a major plot point. She goes to work in this French office to bring an American point of view there, which is what Craig is getting at with his like workplace sort of critique. And basically the rest of the series is like her adventures as a foreigner in a foreign land, who is not in any way sensitive or researching what French life would be like. That's not her deal at all.
Well, her Instagram
very much. Yes, her Instagram becomes a huge hit, and even though it's like are so bad.
Yeah, they're like, it's like completely superficial, like totally not culturally sensitive.
It's Instagram the most like posts. Basic bitch kind of Instagram you could have, right? But it's like one of her posts that blows up on the internet that makes her so popular is she posts a picture of like French women smoking outside of a gym and is like, it's so different here. You work out and you smoke.
I
so that's
see.
Kind of like her level of but there are a lot of redeeming parts. There's some of her coworkers are great. I enjoy the coworkers quite a bit. The other thing that I think probably annoys some folks is that Emily meets a lot of men, in Paris. Every single man she meets, doesn't matter age, personality, anything else, every single one of them will fall in love or lust with her within like 1 second. There's no like flirting back and forth that isn't just like, I've spotted you. Hello, American woman. Anyway, we're in love now.
I love Darren Star's like new angle of like the fish out of water thing or whatever. Maybe that's not the right term. But like he did that with Younger. And I thought Younger was so clever because you see everything from a, you know, you're looking at this thing from a different point of view of someone who really can't say. And so the fact that she's awkward is kind of the really can't say part. And I love
Sutton Foster. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love
but that. But I have to like anyone that Amy Sherman Palladino decides to like. So I have to. It's part of my religion. I have to like her.
I think Emily in Paris is similar to Younger in a lot of ways in terms of it being like based around like she goes into this job and this new environment and stuff like that. But the biggest difference to me is that I find Sutton Foster's character inherently likable and I think she's good at her job. Emily is bad at her job. Like, and for some reason, this bothers me so much more. Like, I'm just like, this woman is getting everything handed to her on a platter. And I'm like, where's my promotion to a fully furnished apartment in Paris? You know, I was like, I could do social media better than Emily's doing social media. So like that's part of I think my dislike of the main character is like which I think is probably also fundamentally that the writers do not understand social media, so they don't know what would be like clever marketing, you know?
Yeah.
I love how Darren Star like really wanted to put Carrie Bradshaw in Paris and like barely got her there. And then she's like, nope, I'm doing it again. Like, I haven't seen it, but I'm so excited to see it.
I love, yeah, it's pretty well, much
I love
like...
Baryshnikov too. So
what if Carrie was younger and like, yeah. Ooh, what if it was Sex and the City, but combined with Younger and it's in Paris?
I love it. I love it all. I'm so down.
Speaking of social media, follow us on at Bachelor Masters, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and leave a what's it called? Review. Yeah, leave a review on the Apple iTunes podcast app. So anyway, all that somehow informs Brandon's inability to spitball.
We're talking about Brandon. Go back to Brandon. Yeah.
So let's do the fashion roundup and finish there.
This is the fashion roundup. Craig likes to talk about what people are wearing.
Yeah.
Craig and Caitlin like to talk about what people are wearing.
So she was wearing speaking of Seinfeld, she was wearing a farmer's outfit, farmer's daughter outfit when she was at the one-on-one date with Justin.
Oh, the like pink kind of ruffly onesie sort of situation.
Yeah, and it reminded me of when Newman was lost in the woods and he came upon that house and then the farmer's like,
yeah.
I got one rule. Don't touch my daughter. Yeah.
I kind of liked that romper, actually. I thought it was a cute look on her, but my take on Claire's fashion is I don't like any of like her evening kind of dresses, really. They're all sort of boring to me. Like, they're not terrible. I don't look at any of them and be like, oh, why would you put that on? But it's like, it's extremely like, you've seen it 20,000 times before. There's nothing especially interesting about it. But I do think some of the like the more casual stuff she wears, like when she goes on those dates and she's wearing the high-waisted shorts with like a little tank top, I think that's a cute outfit.
Yeah, she looks like...
I think
like
the romper one is kind of cute
crocodile
on her.
Hunter.
Yeah, but it's like a look that I feel like she's kind of working it. You know what I mean? Like, it's working for her. It's making the best of her assets. Like, so then such like a creepy like male way to be like, you can really see her assets. Ooh.
But isn't that what dressing is for? I mean aside from the, you know, the primal instinct to keep warm and, you know, from the protected from the elements, it is there to show off your assets.
Yeah, I feel like my like stance on clothes since quarantine has begun is so much like showing off assets is not on my list at all. It's straight up like comfort, and that's the only thing I care about.
Yeah, I just wear PJ bottoms all day. I mean, I even put on my tactical, you know, REI pants in a long time because I don't
Craig, you don't have pajama cargo pants? Where do you put your control, your remote controls in?
I have lots of pajama bottoms, but I don't. They don't have cargo.
Okay,
that's actually
Thank
a really
you
good
for
idea.
Telling me.
They should make
well,
cargo
I know what I'm getting.
Bottoms. That's funny.
I love how they make like pillows for post-birth things with a million pockets in them, or like. An iPad, like I'm like everything. Yes, everything needs pockets, not just pants and skirts and dresses, but like doors need pockets and curtains need pockets and like you know, it's true. I'm leaning towards your way of thinking, Craig.
My cargo pants, yes.
Yeah, cargo I'm looking at a giant remember, yoga ball. I'm like, yoga
did I
balls
mention
need
this the
pockets.
Last time? Craig brought up his REI tactical pants, but my uncle, who was like my primary babysitter growing up. Well, he's one of my uncles. I have several. But this specific uncle, his fashion now for the last like 15, 20 years has been, he wears the tactical cargo pants that zip away at the knee, even though I've literally never seen him use them as shorts. They have that feature. And he wears a fishing vest pretty much like 99% of the time. He doesn't go fishing. He just uses it for the pockets. Like it's a convenient. Yeah.
Important.
Like he basically
you keep
just bought it for
there.
That.
Then you just hang it up and then it's ready to go when you need to go. Yeah.
Yes. It's kind of like his version of having like a purse or something.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. That's good style. I got to meet this uncle. I never.
Craig's writing down his list like buy fishing vest for daily wear. So I do have fashion I wanted to bring up, and it's not Claire's, it's Dale's fashion. Have you noticed what Dale has been wearing?
Well, I noticed the Caitlin, I don't know if you're talking to me or not, but I noticed the short pants, and I had to go back and look in his Life Touch picture, the one from before we even get any bio or anything, was this fat knit cable knit sweater that just falls on him like water dripping, like he just went on a water ride. Like, I'm so, his fashion is not good at all, but neither is Claire, so maybe it makes sense.
Yeah, that's, there was one specific outfit that I was like, I gotta write this down because I do not like it. It's an extremely, I mean, he's picking a look, I guess, but this was on the evening portion after the Love Languages group date. Dale wore a polo shirt sweater golf top kind of thing, if that makes sense. I don't know what else you'd call it. It's got a polo kind of collar happening, and it's short sleeved, but it's color blocked into this, like, there's a dark blue center chunk, then there's some lines, and then there's some light blue, and he's tucked it into a pair of pants that fit in a very weird way. Like, they look like golf pants also. He literally looked like he was going golfing, and I was like, it's a look that I do not like. And then he added a chain onto it. He was wearing like a chain, I think, in every outfit you wore, but the chain for the golf outfit was particularly like a weird match. And then I realized that he'd worn these kind of golfy sweater shirts at other times too. I just hadn't noticed it as much because it wasn't this like bright blue stripey back and forth thing, but he wore a green one, I think, last week. He has a sense of style, but that sense of style to me is bad.
Yeah.
I'll start paying more attention to his, I guess I just didn't really pay any attention to what he was wearing.
Yeah, I think try to clock if you're noticing anything. I also wrote this down because I thought it was weird, but at least half the men on that same date with Dale's bad golf outfit were all wearing polo shirts as well. And like, there is nothing less sexy to me than a man in a polo shirt.
I miss the days when men would wear white shirts underneath whatever shirt they were wearing. Because the nipple exposure is so nipply. Like, it's too much.
I'm pro nipple exposure.
I know you are, Craig. You're supposed to dress for women, though.
But wearing a We've been over this. If you're going to wear an undershirt, at least not wear a white one. Wear a black one.
Fine. I miss an undershirt.
So you don't have
a
white
shirt
sticking out the top.
Period.
There's something a little dorky about like the white undershirt when you have the unbuttoned, like, button up shirt, and you've unbuttoned a few buttons to show the white under. It's like, ooh, no.
No. That's not what I'm asking for. I'm asking for an invisible undershirt where you don't have to see it. You shouldn't see it. That's the original point of it.
Yeah.
Don't want any nip. I don't want any form. I don't want any belly. Like, I just don't want it. I don't want a man. I guess I don't want a man. Like, that's
you don't want that's a man. My.
I don't want like a form. I want a blob of a man. Like, I want the man smell. I want everything except for like bodies, I guess. Is that what I'm getting to here?
I think so.
Like, yeah, like you want an Old Spice smell, extremely baggy shirt, some sort of like Oliver Twist pants with a boot coming up.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. I want man legs. I like legs. But I don't like seeing a chest outline of any form, like any kind.
Yeah.
Oh my. It grosses
so
me
not,
out.
Not a chest person, a leg person. No. Wow. Interesting. Okay.
But,
well, this is a good place to end.
I haven't noticed their nipples a ton, but I would also like to mention Bennett's loafers made appearances again. They showed his suite, and he had like 16 pairs of loafers in there. And I think it was Easy was like, whoa, look at all these loafers. So they love talking about his loafers.
Yeah.
They love talking about him. He seemed like a nice guy, though. He's the one who took her. He's the one who broke the... Right. I was like, all right.
I liked him much better on this episode than on last episode. And it's probably because he was wearing glasses. Glasses on a man is the thing for me that, like, you're wearing glasses, I'm automatically, like, much more attracted to you. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know exactly what it is, but I'm like, glasses? Hello. No glasses. But, not sure.
Caitlin, glasses are the new, like, signaling, because I've seen people wear fake glasses. They sell fake glasses.
Oh, yeah. Which I mean, I've worn really fake glasses because I don't need them, and I love them.
Oh, to me, I'm like, do not, you know how much I have to struggle? Like, if I don't have my glasses, if they fall, I cannot function. I can't even, I need my glasses to look for my glasses. So I have two pairs of glasses.
That's funny.
So I can't see. So it's like, it's almost like making fun of my disability, like in my eyes. I'm like, do not sell fake glasses. That is rude.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's something, if I know somebody's glasses are 100% fake, it's a little bit less attractive because you know that they're just doing it for the look. And I don't know why that is, because I'm like, I love the look. I'm here for the look. So I don't know why it goes down like a little percentage in my head if I know they're fake, even though like I wear like blue light glasses when I'm looking at my computer and stuff. So
That's acceptable. Well, I am the glass gatekeeper here and glasses gatekeeper. And I say, okay, fine.
But yeah, Bennett wore glasses and I was like, well, his stock has gone up in my books.
Good to know. Well, I feel like we've learned a lot about both of you on this podcast and your likes and dislikes.
Specifically around the male form.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's it. So thanks for listening and we'll catch you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Noah 22. Bye.